Welcome to the 18th Annual Labor Day Weekend Retreat, sponsored by Light Within Ministries. This year's theme, A Time to Unite and Transform Through the Power of Love. Featuring the President and Guiding Light of Light Within, David Hulse. Our guest speaker this weekend, Gary Sigler. For more information, you can contact us at Light Within, 3195 Dayton Xenia Road, Suite 900-331, Dayton, Ohio, 45434, or call 937-912-9229. On the web, of course, at www.lightwithin.com. We now join David Hulse for his Monday morning closing meeting at the Bergamo Center in Dayton, Ohio.
What a great weekend it has been. And how we've enjoyed Gary Sigler. Let's give him a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. In fact, I'll kind of open this up a little bit. I know we got some gifted people that we might want to share and connect with this morning. Wow. I just want to talk about experience. I don't want to talk about revelation. All the knowledge I got in my head, which is just way too much sometimes. You know, knowledge makes one weary. It really does sometimes. And I can't help it. I'm just addicted to information. Yeah. I love it. Love a new something or other. That's just who I am, and that's fine. You know, I know people read for pleasure. I've hardly ever read a book. This, I think the first book I have read in 20 years for just reading a book is right now I'm finishing the book Catcher in the Rye. I've heard all my life that's an American classic and everybody should read it, and it's a hoot. That's the word I want to use. To get in this young man's head in the middle of New York City in 1945 and just go with his thoughts throughout this book is just fascinating experience. I mean, I'm so into him. He just cracks me up. He just cracks me up. It's most different writing I've ever read. So I decided I want to read two books, and that was that one and The Tale of Two Cities. So I'm trying to accomplish that goal the best that I can. Well, I want you to know you did it. The theme was unconditional love without judgment. Unless something slipped by me somewhere for the fourth day that we've been together, we've really done well. And I commend you. Give yourself a hand in each and every one. Love does take chances, and love does take risks. I mean, when I think about a creator that's all-encompassing love, creating, it's a risk. What a risk. Isn't it a risk to conceive and to bring forth? You have no idea. Yeah. Some of you do. But it's a risk. Love coming together and conceiving is a risk. And that risk part is a very important part. Aren't you glad we're not just robots? That we're not just genetically programmed to be what the last generation was? But there's that sacred space in all of us. When you think about who you are as a human being, you're two people's information. The whole conception idea is information, two people's information coming together at some mystical moment that we cannot understand, in which that information overlaps and creates an interface pattern. Yes. Somebody, what's that? He's getting off into that. Yeah. It's easy. All you have to do is put a pebble in some water and watch the rings. That's maybe your mom's side. And then your dad's side comes along and puts its rings through mother's rings, and you create this third pattern between the two. That's the interface pattern. And when I say an interface pattern, I'm talking about a portal.
Yep.
A portal. And just try to imagine in your mind two circles going through the center of each other. Can you just imagine that? You have a circle, and then you put another circle, and each one goes to the very center of the other circle, and it makes this Visica Pisces. It's called the Visica Pisces. I want you to think of this whole idea of Christ coming in the form of what many in this room would call Jesus, Yeshua. I told him this weekend, I said, call him George. Just call him by the Spirit. He'll get you. He knows where you are. I'm just so tired of getting into the semantic stuff of being correct, even spiritually correct, otherwise politically correct and culturally correct. I need to get over all that. That's not it. And that created the most powerful portal that was created 2,000 years ago. Why 2,000 years? Have you ever wondered? I used to wonder things like, why did God wait so long to send this on? Why didn't he get on the job and get this son down here earlier? Why was it then? Why was that an appointed time? Why was that a fullness of time? These are things we're not taught biblically and in religious. We're not taught about energy fields and electromagnetic fields and all that kind of thing. And probably that doesn't interest a lot of you, but it has a lot to do with the environment for something very unique to happen. And many are saying that we're entering into that time. I don't know how many of you watched the 2012 documentary the other night. I think 22 started out and 7 ended up, I heard. You did real good last night with the shadow. Nobody moved out here on that one. Wasn't that fantastic? That's one of the best produced, it's not a movie exactly, but it's kind of a documentary I think I've ever seen done. Thank you. I just sat back there and thought, who's going to go first? And nobody moved the whole thing. So thank you for staying with that. And I'm sure all of you were touched by the idea of embracing your shadow side of you. Anyway, 2,000 years ago, let's say before 2,000 years ago, there was a different atmosphere. Because when electromagnetic fields and electrical fields and all that, I don't want to get into it. Really, electrical fields is a very good word to what religious has coined as a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. It always hasn't been known as a spiritual experience, but people's had the experience. And we wonder why, you know. I mean, I know we want to put it off on some God somewhere that God, okay, this is the time I want to do that. But actually, it has to do with the atmosphere and the environment of things. Has to do a lot with what's going on with nature and how that it's having relationship with itself. We're basically, as human beings, not electromagnetic beings. We're more electrical or spiritual, we would say. That's the term that most of us have downloaded into the computer of the brain. So we kind of understand that, felt the spirit. Remember all that, some of you? Back in the 60s, I jerked so much I had to go to the doctor. No one, I probably, where my neck situation comes from, Hannah. It's just showing up 40 years later after all that jerking I used to do because I was getting that quickening. But actually it was an electrical charge. It was activation of my electrical system. The electrical system has to be working in you and you're not alive. And where it's not working, your numb, you're dead, you're disconnected communication. I'm having that issue right now. I don't mind telling you that. I had that issue. Thank you, Mary Lynn. I adjust that. Cancel. I've had that due to my choice of going into some so-called preventive, aggressive, evolved laser back surgery. I have had my nerves all the way in my legs and feet. Something done. The bottom line is communication is not getting to my toes and to my feet from my back. To me, that's how I interpret it. There's not that electrical flow. Electrical flow. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. But we're basically, electromagnetics is here because that's what holds you on the planet. Because our planet, Mother Earth is an electromagnetic field. And the reason we don't go spinning off into space, even though we're spinning at, you know, whatever these numbers are, is whoever you read, 60,000 miles an hour into space and all these kind of things that we can't even imagine, because it looks like we're standing still to me. I just can't imagine where there's this little ball out here traveling through space at thousands and thousands of miles an hour. This is the illusion. Remember I told you last night, the illusion again is the sun rises and sets. And that's a hard one, because we really, I know y'all have trouble with that one. I do too, because we love a nice sunrise and sunset. And that's okay, because we do experience that in the world of perception. The sun doesn't go anywhere. It just sets in the middle of the universe, and the earth turns, given that we think the sun is moving across the earth as we spin. And yet our Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. So you have to kind of watch things there too, because there's a lot of illusion in there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what I'm saying is, up until that time, people, when the electromagnetics are higher, the electrical system is lower and is more deeper within the soul, let's say. But as the electromagnetics go down, and this happens in cycles, when it goes down, then the electrical system is more activated. This happened the last time 2,000 years ago. Now, I know the wise men were following some stars and stuff, but you have to look at that as some kind of alignment going on. This wasn't some Christmas story. That's just ridiculous. I mean, there were actually something going on in the sense of an alignment. Planetary alignment was going on. An environment was being created for something so wonderful to happen that we can sit here and absolutely enjoy it today because it took place. And that is the birthing of the Christ consciousness to the cellular level, to the human level. We call it incarnation. The incarnation of the living Christ. I read in 1987 a book called Bringers of the Dawn. In 1987, bizarre book. I was concerned to even tell people about it, but you know me, I can't keep my mouth shut. People's always telling me, come on, brother, you're not telling enough. You're not. I tell everything I possibly know. I don't hold anything back that I know of. But I read, and the thing I never forgot, and I remember this is all pre-wars and whatever, that the great portal for incarnating on planet Earth in the third dimension is over Kuwait and Iraq and over that part of the Middle East and reaches into North Africa. Now think about it. This is where we have found ancient bones of ancestors on the evolutionary side, and this is where we have found the cradle of civilization. This is where the Garden of Eden was supposed to take place. This is where the Sumerians have landed. Oh, so much is going on about that land. The history of that land over there is always about the beginning of something. A beginning of something. Not the beginning, but a beginning of something. And I never forgot that. Then I thought, here we are rushing over there to fight wars. What's it really about? Oil, is it? Power, what is it? And I thought, oh my God, they know about the portal. They know about the portal. Don't any of you underestimate the, oh God, oh, you know, I hate using opposites. Language is so difficult anymore to use because I don't mean this maybe as it sounds, but I'm going to call them the dark Elohim. And when I use the word dark, I mean unconscious light.
There you go. There you go.
I'm not talking about an opposite. You know, if Mario cannot quote my social security number, he would just draw a blank and be dark of that information because he's not enlightened to that information. Doesn't mean he's not an enlightened person. It means he's not enlightened. So we don't have everything into consciousness. And what we don't have into consciousness, which is our light, then it remains in the unlight. Make light and darkness the same. Carl Jung gave me the answer, the psychologist, when he said, darkness is unconscious light. I got it, what it was saying in Psalms 139. Make light and darkness the same. What was I saying that for?
The portal.
So, thank you.
Sorry.
See, I need a collective corporate help here to do it. Yeah, and I'm talking about, and this is my experience. Take it for what it's worth. It's not even a revelation. This is my interpretation of an experience that happened to me several years ago when I kind of felt in me, go back, start with Genesis, and return it back to the context of the Hebrew. Find the words in the Hebrew, and then take the dictionary and look up that word, and you will unveil a code. And I did that, and it blew me away when I started looking up all these words. Just in the first few verses of the book of Genesis, a different story unfolded. And I can't give that a full story, but the point was, is there was a collective godship that came into this planet. And this is the planetary manifestation of the source. The planet couldn't hold the entirety of the source. How can a planet or even a galaxy contain that which has no beginning and has no end? Don't even try to go there. All you have to understand it is at the planetary level because you incarnated on a planet. And there is a planetary manifestation. There's a galactic manifestation. There's a universal. And now there's a multiverse manifestation. And it'll just keep going on and on and on and on and on and on because there's no end and there is no beginning to whatever it is. You limit it when you call it God. But that's all right. But actually, Elohims are the gods, and it's collective, and it's male and female. And wherever, whatever they were very intelligent, and they knew a lot of things. In fact, get this, I believe that how we've grown in technology is their DNA in us. They have inserted their DNA in us, and we are walking as those forefathers in technology. You have to be a little concerned about technology because in an unbalance of technology, you find destruction. It's happened before, and I don't want it to happen again. This is why we have to rise up and get our act together. Please. That was my call for this whole thing. Get over it. Get over your judgments. Get over your pettiness. People have been walking in this for a lot of years and decades in kingdom revelation and all that stuff. It's time to get it together or realize as these cycles are completing themselves that God will turn us to destruction to say, return, ye sons of men. Don't get so smug that you really think you got it. Let me tell you what, Barbara, I thought we'd all have immortal bodies by now 20 years ago. And that's when I was young and feeling good and I didn't have anything wrong with me. But I tell you what, I've had to reevaluate.
I've had to reinvent the whole message of going into immortality. Do I believe in any less? Absolutely not. But are we the generation to go to? I don't know. Are we the seed generation? Are we the water generation? Are we the increased generation? I don't know anymore. But I've got to go as far as this generation can go. Not me, but as this generation can go. This new gene eration. This new gene eration that will not walk as their forefathers. That's why DNA work is so important. You've got to go in there and change that DNA that has been inserted into the DNA of the earth seed, of the Adam race. Oh, okay, I won't go there. What I want to say to you, that you're living in such a time of another fullness. There is so many cycles coming upon this generation that it is stressful. I'm going to use the word, it is stressful. You that are going around with your smiles on your face trying to tell you that you are in total whatever, that message isn't spiritual anymore to me. Being spiritual is being honest and saying, I'll tell you what, I'm going through it. My body's going through it. My bones are going through it. My muscles are going through it. Sure they are, because they're trying to repattern and they're trying to change into a different container to hold the new wine of the energy coming in. Because you can't put new wine into old wine sacks. Two 2,000 years ago, magnetic fields went up electrically. And what that means, bottom line, is when they're high, we have more access to ourself as information. Mm-hmm. When they are low, we have less information, and the universe sends a teacher outside of ourself to teach us what we've lost inside of ourselves. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now, whether you like it or not, there has been cultural teachers. Understand what I'm saying, cultural teachers. Gautama, or the first Buddhist, or Buddha, was more of a culture. All the other teachers that have been great spiritual prophets and visionaries are cultural. But I tell you, 2,000 years ago, and I'm trying to take this out of religion. You see, Jesus told me not too long ago, I had a message from Jesus. I'm going to say I did. I had a message. He said, take me out of religion. You left me there. You left me there. Take me out of the box of religion and let people really know who I am. That's our assignment right now, ministry, is to get him out of that.
Hallelujah.
I had people go, oh, there goes that preaching thing again. some of you here, I know you've been, they're giving that Bible stuff again. I have a real mixture of folks. Some just scared to death we're going to get into that Bible Jesus thumping stuff. And I've bought into that for a while. Confession's good for the soul. I bought into it because I wanted to belong so bad. Because
yeah.
I haven't belonged to anything. I've been kind of put outside the ring of kingdom, sonship, where I spend a lot of time and investment and have a certain love, but hurt. And maybe a little anger, but I don't, maybe not. So in the new thought and the more metaphysical, the new age, open up. I said, okay, I found somebody. And the thing about them, they weren't judgmental. Bless your hearts, you new agers here, and you metaphysical people who are not ashamed to be who you are, and you new thought folks, and ministers, embraced me. And they didn't judge me. They didn't care about my bedroom. They didn't care about nothing. And I said, oh, if I could just take that over to the kingdom folk. If I could just pull all this together, it'd be the greatest thing on the planet Earth. So I've been going through a little bit of dry spell. And I'm not complaining. I'm explaining because I love what I do. I love the fact that I've
have the training of 1,000 practitioners worldwide. And don't think I haven't planted seed in those tuning fork workshops. It's amazing how the Spirit can come as a thief in the night.
Feel all your darkness.
Hannah, Dr. Hannah here, naturopathic doctor, who came to Nashville, Tennessee, of all places. It's been a tough place. But we ended up with a level one down there. Here comes Hannah from way up. I still don't know where you are, but you're way up north of Syracuse.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, somewhere up there in the way up there. Come down to Nashville to take this workshop. In fact, we about missed you because she was staying in the same motel and was supposed to ride with us. And we got there, we didn't hear from her. And we thought, where is she? She's not here. We're about to leave. And I see this lady sitting down there in the corner. And Tim's about ready to go. And I just kept drawing and drawing and drawing. And I said, I got to go find out. But I found her. And what a jewel I have found. But what I'm saying to you, she came to the tuning fork workshop. But she heard something. She heard a sound in the tuning fork training that made her want to know more, and she started listening to the monthly CD. And it was the ministry part that she really, I think, came for too. And here she is. What I'm saying, this is the example. This is why I think the Sons of God and the Kingdom people, they keep all bunching up together. And they're not doing what we were taught. What we were taught in the 80s was that all creation's waiting. We were going to go everywhere. And I tell you, any of us that went anywhere got the axe. Have you heard of David Holtz? He's gone into New Age. But they're God's children. All of us need to go somewhere. And reach and extend. Anyway, I'm gonna get to what I'm going to say. I promise. I'm going to say, 2,000 years ago, something happened. Now, the story is this. A woman named Mary was overshadowed and conceived and brought forth Jesus. We know the story. We know the Christian story. All right. Well, should we throw the story out? Some of us who kind of like not sure about the literalism. I tell you, I've just been reading and studying a tremendous book for years called The Secretaries of God, and it's the entire history of the King James Bible. This is the thing to fundamentals that bother me the most, is they teach everything from the Bible, assuming it's the literal word of God, but they never study about the Bible and where it came from. They do not study 30 books was taken and edited out in the third dimension by the Catholic Church. They think that God spoke in English. If you're down in the South, they think, and let there be light, and there was light.
The same King James Bible that Peter and James used.
Of course. Carried it under their arm and preached from it. My. But whether that happened or not is not the debate. But the reality is, what does it mean to me now? I'm tired of worship in retrospect. All worship is based upon who was here 2,000, 6,000, 3,000 years ago. We need a worship about what's here now. That's why I haven't been worshiping. This is the first retreat I've really opened this up to this level of worship, because I did not want to worship about somebody who lived years ago on this planet. Until you knew who you were. Somebody help me. When you know who you are now and then worship from that place, you become the worship. You don't have worship. You become the worship. Now I'm ready. And I've missed it, Barbara, because you know me. I like to move and groove.
You got to move it, brother.
I love to move, and I'm ready to move again.
Yeah, right.
I've just about had it. I'm so
dry and so hungry. I've been so angry and upset and bitchy. I don't know how anybody could live around me the last few years. Bless Tim's heart. He deserves a something from y'all. I've gone around, I don't believe what it's about. It's a bunch of baloney, blah, 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 blah. I'm just telling it like it is. It's been tough, Rokas. It's been tough. It's been a dying. It's been a dying out.
And a squealing while you're going down.
Yeah. And the old and the new earth shall pass with a noise. And I'll tell you, the noise is the grumbling that's going on. And then I met somebody named Barbara Simmons. Simon, sorry. We have a Simmons. You're a Simmons. Oh, we got a Simmons and a Simon. Simon and Simon. That came from College Station. Thanks to Karen, who was the instrument in setting that up. And she came to Dallas to my meeting. And it was, oh my God, who is this person? I had such a connection with her. And I got suspicious something is happening. She is so full of the Spirit, but so open to the present knowledge. And it was so refreshing. It was like a refreshing. And then out of nowhere, in a little Soma Energetic Share conference, here comes this interesting lady from Spokane, Washington, who just dropped in, and I thought, why is she here, this minister? Which was a very powerful experience of meeting Carla and hearing her wonderful testimonies. I know you all enjoyed her class that was there. I know you did. The gym lady. And I thought, this is interesting. Kind of felt like meeting Barbara. I thought, I want to connect them, but they don't know each other. And then Hannah shows up, and all of these are spirit-filled people, and not, this is different. Something is shifting. Something is changing. And of course, everybody's been telling me about Gary Sigler for a long time. I've heard about him. Heard a few of his tapes. Enjoyed them. But Barbara began to mention his name. Karen has mentioned his name to me. Barbara started mentioning his name. And I thought, then when I kind of heard and read that he had really moved into unconditional love and judgment, and he's still hanging around those kingdom people. I don't know. I wasn't sure. I really wasn't sure. But I'll tell you, one day something just absolutely came over me, and I picked up the phone and called him.
Hallelujah.
Just called him. I said, I'm just going to call him.
Good.
I know he's busy, but I'm going to call him. And I'm going to invite him because I think he might be a good bridge between a little bit of where I've gone and where I've been and where I want to be. And he was very gracious to accept this invitation to come and to be here. Oh, and Carol. Oh, we love Carol. Don't you love Carol?
Yes.
I loved Carol before I met Carol. I did. I don't know. I just felt your heart. And then some from the other side of the aisle. What's he going to do? You know, this is the thing that has always challenged me with New Thought and New Age people. They, you know, they call me if I'm going to the church 6 months later. What are you going to teach on? I need a title. That's the hardest thing for me to do. I've never. So I just give them whatever. And then I go and do whatever I feel to do. So those who know me know that that's kind of the way I operate. It's just the hardest thing. How do I know? I want to feel the people and where I am. I want it to be a present experience. I'm not going to try to outguess the Holy Spirit. I have no idea. Absolutely. Maybe an electrical charge take place.
So a lot of people are like, oh dear, I'm going to lose a lot of those people because this preacher's coming. He's probably going to do a lot of scripture. But I held my guns. I said, I know this to be. And I'm opening my heart this time. I'm not worrying about anybody. It's not my responsibility. You're not my responsibility. No. Grow up. Take your own responsibility for how you feel and how you think. Don't be blaming me for nothing. Anyway, it really worked toward the higher good and for the inner vision that I have had. I feel the same way about Mary Lou and Mario.
Yeah.
Mary Lou, I've had a very bizarre connection with. It's Barbara Dempsey. Barbara brings out certain words in me. This is a Barbara Dempsey word. It's not really quite the word. Bizarre in a very good way. Because, I mean, interesting. Well, I mean, because I really didn't know her in the physical. I had seen her one or few times or just a little bit. But it was really through her first CD that I got, the White Dove.
Yeah.
And I started meditating. And while I was taking care of my mother, and she was so sick in her last years, Tim and I and Darla and anybody was there, when we got her to bed, we would go right in the living room, light a candle, and we would play Mary Lou's music. And it took me to a place of such peace in that time. I can't explain. It was my place. He took me to my place.
Hallelujah.
And they too represent a part of this recipe. Mm-hmm. It's about a recipe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you get the right recipe together, you can make great things.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Let me just say, 2,000 years ago, the womb of Mary. Think about it, the womb of the woman, the female. That which men have been the most drawn to but frightened of, ladies.
It's true.
The most powerful place that we carry in the cellular memory before a dumb and adolescent human evolution. And I talked about this yesterday, so I won't go through it, but that the place of physical creation came from the woman's womb, made her the most powerful. The most powerful in all nature was the woman and Mother Earth, because it sustained life and gave life. Men didn't even know they had the power of the seed until the breaking down of the bicameral mind or the beginning of consciousness. And then men got thinking, ooh, Mother Earth doesn't bring forth till Father Sky rains on her. Hey guys, guess what? These women aren't conceiving and having children till we go into the sacred womb. We have the power. Manpower. And the fear of the woman power was so great that it had to be brought down a few notches the time we get the Bible. You see on Christians, the fish, Pisces, the fish. They probably knew that was a Pisces sign. They'd probably rip it off. But they think it's the Christian sign. Is the little fish. But you see, the Christians have brought it into the linear. Into the linear of time, space, when it belongs in the vertical. Put it in the vertical and you'll see the female womb, the vagina. That's the Visica Pisces. That's what you see when you put two circles in the middle of each other. It's in this. This is the Visica Pisces. The most powerful portal. Now in Tuning Forks, we teach that what makes that energetically and with sound is the moon and the sun tuner, the male and the female, coming through each other. There's something there that creates the Visica Pisces, is the moon and the sun. There's many other ways, I'm sure, but that's the way that I've been taught and I teach the class. There's nothing more powerful than taking the sound of the sun with the moon together and creating a basic of Pisces. When I have a client at the end, I ask them to think of one desire they have that's not manifesting, because it's stuck somewhere in some blockage or whatever. But I said, I want you to hold it within your mind and imagination, and I'm going to do the sun and the moon tuner, and I want you to imagine that manifestation coming through that portal into the manifestation of your life. So they know about the portal. They're not stupid, those who hold and have held the power of this planet. They have the technology to know how to dumb down, is that the word?
Yeah.
Souls as they come through, because they don't want you to get the light until you're going through the tunnel. And when you're going through the tunnel of death, you go, I could have had a V8. And there's a generation saying, I am putting death under my feet. This is what it means. It doesn't mean so much just immortality. It means that you're putting death under your feet to say, death will not take me to the higher place, but I'm going now before death. I'm going to get it now. I'm going to have the V8 right now, and I'm going to get it in a physical lifetime. And I'm telling you, we're living in a 9 cycle of completion. 9 is completion. There's 144,000. My God, how many people have been beating on doors trying to earn their way to be a part of 144,000 when it's a frequency? 1 + 4 = 5 + 4 = 9. It's not talking about a number. It's talking about a critical mass of souls who have completed all of their incarnations in this dimension, and they're going to get it this time. And they're going to get it this time. Are you going to get it this time? This is why your life's a little stressed, because all your unfinished business has come up in this lifetime. And you're no victim to it. Emma, you're no victim to it. You're not a victim to it. You made contracts. You said, I will go this time. And they said to you, well, on this free will planet, we've not raised our collective consciousness to the level to stabilize the new fifth dimensional energy coming in. Let me tell you, if you want to know where Yeshua Jesus went when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, he went to the fifth dimension. It's right above our third, fourth dimension. And he said, I'm waiting for you, that where I am, you may be also. And that's where I'm going right now, Carolyn. I'm going to where he is. I'm going into the fifth dimension.
Be there.
Ooh, I got up.
And what they've said to you, whether you know it or not, I'm going to remind you. They've said, because you're on a free will planet, at the level of a critical mass, collectively, we have not chosen to raise our consciousness to the level to normalize this. Therefore, in this incarnation, you were asked by choice of free will, will you live out how many lifetimes in this one to raise enough of your consciousness to the level? That's why your life has been what it has been. I've told people I've been so mad at some God who would call me to the ministry at 16. I wanted to go to a prom, but I didn't get to no prom. I don't have any memory of any prom. I didn't walk down and get my high school diploma. I didn't finish going to the dances, and back in my day, the sock hops or whatever they were called. Was out preaching, amen, because I wanted more people to be saved before Jesus came. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And I got out there, and I pastored a church at 19. People asked me about stuff I've never heard of, because I had no experience, and I got stuck there physically. That's why I'm so immature and a small brat. I'll tell you what I am. I always have been, amen, because I stopped growing physically and mentally, but I went for the Spirit, and I grew in the Spirit, but my mental and my physical never caught up with my spirit. Oh, somebody help me. That's why when I was 32 and I went to Little Rock and I found a bunch of people that wanted to take me to a disco, I started going to disco because I wanted to dance. I wanted to do what I could have done at 17 and 19 when I was preaching pastoring those mean Pentecostal folks. I mean mean folks down in Montgomery, Alabama, amen, in the race riots, coming in with their gun on their hip talking about how how many niggas they had shot and then spoken tongues almost gave me a nervous breakdown. 19 years old. I shouldn't have been doing that at 19 years old, but I came in running. I came in running from the womb. I waited one extra month because I was a 10-month baby. Oh, yeah. I said, just give me another month. Just give me another month because I know when I come out of here, I'm going to come running. My life's going to go so fast. And I'll tell you what, I could write a book today on every lifetime I've lived in this one. Forget about the past ones. What about the ones I've lived right now? But oh, I'll tell you, because I said I will. I'm one of those, I'll sign the contract. Where do I sign? Because I want everything that'll get me where I need to be in this lifetime, because I ain't coming back again. I'm not coming back again. It's too late to debate reincarnation with me, because there is no more incarnation for me. Hey man, it's been done. Don't be talking karma with me or sin, because it's all been washed and wiped away. In fact, it's been washed away in my mind, because I never needed it in the first place, because I never was a sinner. I never needed to be saved, because I am that which He is. Oh, and if I need to be saved, then salvation unto our God.
Amen. Quit trying to figure out how crazy your life has been, and understand what you've attained to today. And I say this in the spirit of humility. Where we are today in ourselves is because of this contract that was made in Him before the foundation of the world. You would not be sitting here. And there's a lot of people not sitting here. A lot of you got a lot of family not. And I'm talking about in consciousness, not just physically here. This hasn't been a family thing. You know, like in the church, the whole family got saved and went to church. This hasn't been a family thing. I tell them I have one entire family that comes to a meeting, and that's in Dallas. The mother, the father, the two children. Now the kids are grown, but it's an entire family. And I tell them every time how rare. Because most of us are perceived very strange by our family. I mean, it's not that you're going over every morning with your neighbor and having coffee and talking about the latest information that you have gotten. You hear what I'm saying? But you chose. You're not chosen. The only reason you're chosen is because you chose. That's what the chosen are, those who choose. Get off of this elect thing, that you're some special thing in God's eye, while the unchosen. That's why we've done what we've done to people. Because everybody's believed they're more special and more chosen, and they can treat the unchosen a little differently. We can make them slaves, we can make them whatever. Elitism has to go. Has to go. Well, anyway, what I'm telling you is that that when those souls came through, they've been downloaded. And the light side of the Elohims, who were banished from this dimension and planet and entered into the star constellations. This is why the scripture does mention certain, in Job, star constellations. They're mentioned. It's not New Age. You go to the scripture and see the mention of certain constellations. A lot of people feel things toward Pleiades and different places like that. And get this, science has proved that the same ingredients that make up our atoms make up stars. That is a scientific proof. I think it's 80% or more of the material that makes up the human cell makes up stars. Walking this earth is a star seed, not an earth seed. There's earth seed here, but there's a star seed. And I'll tell you why the star seed is here, because a new portal was opened. Are you getting where I'm going here? 2,000 years ago, the first of a light Elohim got in. The first of the many came in, created, not only found a portal, but created a portal, a way for us to start incarnating
2,000 years ago into this dimension. You hear what I'm saying? He became the portal. That's right, became the portal. That's what he meant when he said, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the portal. You can start coming in. The rest are coming on in now. I'm just the first of the brother. I'm just the first, but the rest are right behind me. They're coming in. And we started incarnating on a Christ frequency, which did not allow us to come through the way other souls were incarnating on this planet that was guarded portals.
Preaching my message, brother.
I'm
rocking the chair.
It's like all others are designated as seats, because not of any negative connotation, but just to emphasize the uniqueness of this portal.
It is a uniqueness of the portal.
This is why vibration work is so important.
Yeah.
Tuning forks may not be your thing. It might be tuning forks. But anything to do with sounds in relationship to each other creates an interval.
Yes.
And trust me, in vibration and sound therapy, every interval is a portal.
Yep.
And when you work with people, whether it's with the voice or the music or the tuning forks or whatever, you have many modalities and ways in which you do it, we are helping people to open up there are portals that have been closed for them. We need to get rid of we're healers. Oh my God. The ego would just love for us to believe we're healers.
Yeah.
When we're just facilitators and vessels and channeling that's helping the environment within people for the natural process of the law of the spirit to operate. That's all we can do. It's another label I don't want to live up to. I don't want to be a vegetarian. I meat hardly. I have no drawing to meat. I think I had one piece of meat this entire weekend for protein, but that's the only thing I've been drawn to. And I didn't do it because I'm a vegetarian. I did not eat meat because I'm a vegetarian, because it's a label I got to live up to. And when you see me eat a little piece of chicken, you can say, I thought you were a vegetarian. And you're going to try to put me under condemnation, aren't you? Because I didn't live my label. Stop labeling what you are and be that by nature, not by self-control. The self-control thing doesn't work, Gary. We've all tried it. And it doesn't work. It'll be done by nature. Now, what I'm saying to you is that time is happening again. Now, if it is the crossing of the sun with the center of the Milky Way, which I saw a whole thing on that on History Channel the other day. It is a very powerful event that creates a black hole, that creates a phenomenon, which is to happen, supposedly, by the Mayan calendar in the winter solstice of 2012, December 20th. Here's my thing, because I'm not sure anybody knows what time it is. They've manipulated time. Put us on the Gregorian time. I'm not sure we know exactly when that might happen. In fact, what I'm reading now is it is happening. You're living it. One book I read said it started in 1980 and will continue to its fruition in 2017. Well, not pretty bizarre in the 80s, isn't it? Think about it. No man knows the hour nor the day, but the season. Maybe we're living in the season of the great shift of the ages. And maybe we're not experiencing it as much as we're participating in it. Huh? Maybe there are aspects of ourself already in the next fifth dimension. That's why we're a little goofy. Aren't you tired of looking for your car keys? Aren't you tired of trying to find your car in the parking lot at the mall? That's the most horrible feeling, is where is my car and where did I park it? What is going on with me? What's all this waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning? What is it all about? Because you are the shift. You are the shift.
Holy shift. There you
go. I didn't say that.
You can. And it's so much fun.
So that's what I wanted to say. What an opportunity. What a doorway. What a window that has been opened to us. And let's take it. Let's take it. Let's don't mess up again with our dreary little egos that we drag around, our insecurities, our anxieties, our fears, jealousies, whatever they are. I don't know. They're not my enemy. We saw that. Jesus saw that last night. It's all about embracing. There's some of your little children that went not so good. They're your children. Forget the children. Some of you have several children. Some of them turned out pretty good. And some of them ended up on drugs and prison, all kinds of crazy stuff. And that's the same thing with our children. We created our fears and our anxieties because they are our reactions to events in our life. We're not the victims. We own them. Yeah, we own them. So own your children.